Well, Roosters fans, welcome to this week's episode of Roosters Radio, and the week off did us wonders. Great game of origin last week, unfortunately didn't get the result, and we all know why, but we got another chance. But Silky, what I'm most excited about today on Roosters Radio, not much to talk about from last weekend, but plenty to talk about with our special guest, Spencer Lenu. How you pulled that one off, Silky, I don't know, but you are connected in high places.
Bush, really looking forward to. I haven't actually met Spencer yet, so yeah, really looking forward to having a bit of a in-depth chat, learn more about the man behind the footballer. You know, learn a bit about that running style. And I thought his performance last Wednesday night in the Blues jersey. Well, I can't recall a dominant debut where a guy's just run on the field and made such an impact. Blues were in all sorts. He kind of dragged us out of the mire and got us back into that game with some barnstorming runs, some big hits, and he's born for Origin.
Oh, he made a statement, didn't he? And what I love, Silky, as you just alluded to, for all of our fans, you know, we want to get to know the man behind the Steedon. You know, we're meeting Spencer for the first time today ourselves, and the perspective we get as a footballer, someone we'd love to play like, someone who plays aggressive and tough. But the man will come out today in today's interview, so very exciting.
Well, let's get him on. You're on Roosters Radio, and when we come back, the man himself, Spencer Lenu. Welcome back to Roosters Radio, and well, we've got a very special guest for you right now. This young man, he's already won three premierships. He represented Samoa at the last World Cup. He had one of the best Origin debuts I can recall on memory. And, well, he's here to talk all things Roosters. It's a very warm Roosters Radio welcome for the first time, Spencer Lenu. Spencer, welcome, mate.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Spencer, I want to start where it all began. I mean, your rugby league journey started in Auckland. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, obviously, you know, born there, family raised me there sort of, and I think I moved over to Australia when I was about 8 or 9 years old, about 2009 or something like that, and yeah, pretty much been in like Mount Druitt my whole life, and then yeah, sort of just was at Macca's one time, and then just with the family, just going out for lunch, and Minchinbury Jets was promoting their club, and like my parents not knowing the area or, you know, where they sort of put kids, they sort of just chucked me at that club, and you know, that was my club, my junior club growing up, so yeah.
What are some of your fondest memories coming through that junior system and becoming the first grade footballer that you did?
Oh, yeah, there's obviously so many memories. I think something I take out of is like the relationships that I have. A lot of those boys are, you know, my brothers, they are for life, and, you know, we obviously made a special connection, but not just during the good times. Like, we went through a lot of bad times together, and, you know, that's what makes our sort of relationship so special. And yeah, we still talk to each other to this day, every single day, and, you know, catch up with, you know, their kids and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just I would say the relationships with the boys. So yeah.
Spencer, just touch on Minchinbury Jets. If you look back, was there one coach that stands out, was a mentor? You know, what about some of the players you played with as a young player coming through?
Yeah, that's a difficult one, to be honest. I'd have to say sort of Benny Harden. He was a big one for me, sort of coming through the grades. Just a, you know, a good guy, and, you know, he just wanted the best for all the boys, and, you know, he got us in for massages when we were just kids and stuff like that. And, yeah, I'll probably say him, and, yeah, I don't know, sort of playing up against Critter as well. Yeah. We sort of, like, same age, went to the same school and played against each other at times, and, and I remember, I've told this story many times, but I remember in the grand final, we played the grand final together, Minchinbury Jets, and he was playing for St. Clair, and I think Eshie Ball trials was like maybe a week or two later, and got into a bit of a scuffle at the end, and I was sort of just holding him back, and I was like, my grip was like like wearing out because of, like, he was so angry at that time. I was just like, you know, we've got bigger and better things to worry about, and you know, seeing where he is now, you know, I feel like I should be compensated for, you know, his contract he has right now. So
who got the W that day?
Oh, we did. Yeah. Yeah, so
mate, I want to talk about, because I know you're passionate about where you grew up in and around Mount Druitt. And look, we grew up in Bondi, mate. I can count on one hand how many times I went to Mount Druitt. I think we stopped there once, Bush, when we were kids, because Australia's Wonderland was somewhere out there.
Sure,
and
did.
There was the waterworks as well. I don't know if you remember those places, Spencer, but rough area, right?
Yep.
What was it like growing up around there?
I don't know. It's sort of hard to explain. You know, it was fun. Obviously, we all had our struggles, and I think that's what you know, sort of makes our area so special. We're so like tight knit. Everyone sort of struggled the same, and you know, that's why we're sort of, I don't know, sort of just grateful for what we had, and you know, to see where the area is now. You know, back in the days, obviously had a bad sort of stigma, I think the word is, about it, but you know, sort of back then was if you're good at playing footy, that was just sort of your only avenue out of the area. Otherwise, you would just go through, you know, obviously a bad path. But now there's like different avenues for you know, all those younger kids to look up to. There's small businesses, there's rappers, there's singers. So there's a lot of avenues to get out of a rough area. And I think that's what I'm most proud of, you know, just seeing that so many avenues where kids can, you know, sort of aspire to be. Like, they've got more options now. And obviously now, like, being someone who come from there, just want to sort of inspire those kids that, you know, with a little bit of hard work, you can make it out. So
good on you, mate.
Spencer, how important is the influence of family? I know how big you are on family, and it's not just the avenues and being a good footballer. It's having not just good coaches, but amazing family members, which you do have, and you know, you're so proud of that. How important is the influence of your family on how you've become?
Yeah, it's honestly like that's it for me. Like, I wouldn't be who I am, you know, as a person or, you know, as a footy player without my family. And yeah, sort of just all credits towards them, like what my parents did, you know, moving us over, you know, to Australia for a better opportunity, and you know, just all the sacrifices. Like, it's pretty cliche, but like, you know, I've got to give a lot of credit to my parents. And yeah, obviously I wouldn't be here without them. So,
and brothers and sister and everything else in the family, who's your favorite? I'll hear
know.
It here first.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to say my older brother, because I don't know. he's my best man at the end of the year. So, I love all my siblings.
Of course.
Was backyard footy big in the Leanhew house, mate, growing up?
Yeah, that was sort of a big thing sort of growing up. Like, everyone in the area sort of just like used to just play touch footy on the road.
Yes.
And yeah, sort of everyone would just come out just seeing us play, and then everyone would just come in and filter in and, you know, try to do our Benji Marshall flick passes and all that kind of stuff and run each other over. But, yeah, 100%, that was a massive thing. And I think that's just what, you know, brought us closer together and made our love for footy that much bigger.
Well, growing up, you're obviously a Panthers fan, being from the area growing up. But were there any other footballers, or was someone that you based your game on or thought, geez, you know, I love the way he plays? Or who was your favourite player?
Yeah, to be honest, Warriors of my,
oh, sorry,
really?
my team. Yeah, obviously just being born in New Zealand, and you know, they still like support them to this day. Like, obviously when we play, it's game on. But yeah, like, you know, Warriors always have a special place in my heart. But in terms of sort of looking up to someone, I'm not too sure. I'll say probably Sonny Bill or Sam Burgess. Sam Burgess is a big one for me, and just how aggressive he was. He sort of just sort of like my type of game style, and I just love how aggressive he was and how he sort of protected his players, and yeah.
It makes sense when you say that, Spencer.
There's no secret you've had an amazing short career. You debuted in 2019 and then obviously three premierships. But you come to the club, you find yourself, I think you're actually first night, did you have to sleep here behind you in the Allianz Stadium?
Yeah.
I don't think the fans would really know much about that. So tell the story, mate. Obviously, you were an ambassador for the NRL over in the States, building up the game for the NRL when we went to Vegas. You fly home and you sleep out on the main pitch there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a whole story and a half, to be honest. Sort of like, I went up there, obviously, trying to promote the game in Vegas, and I was supposed to come on the Thursday, have Friday off, and then stay here on a Saturday with army camp or whatever that. And then my flight got cancelled on the Wednesday, so I had to stay overnight on the Thursday in San Francisco, flew in on Friday, landed on Saturday morning, and then straight into camp and sleeping out here and stuff like that. And then ended up in the hospital just because I think my body was just so dehydrated, like from the travel and stuff like that. And yeah, it was a bit of a shock to the body, but yeah, it was a pretty funny, like, sort of introduction to all the boys seeing me in hospital. Like, ah.
And that was the first time you'd met the playing group, right?
Yeah, that was the first time. And then I remember sitting in hospital, I'm just like, these boys probably think I'm not the guy sort of thing. And I was like, yeah, this is a good introduction. I just got to come back and train hard. So,
well, as Roosters fans, last year we saw when you were still at the Panthers, a little bit of argy-bargy with our spiritual leader, JWH. Can you give the fans a little insight to that, and then the great connection you two have now?
Yeah, obviously, all the Penrith boys sort of knew that I was sort of coming to the Roosters, and then sort of egging me on, like, oh, yeah, what are you going to do? Like, are you going to take it easy and all this stuff, type of stuff? And, like, I was like, nah, nah. But even, like, for Jazza, he's sort of similar like me. I'll protect my brothers until, you know, we cross that white line, and, you know, that's sort of just how it was. He was protecting his brothers, and I was protecting mine at the time, and yeah, that's all it was. And now, you know, Jazza, like, I wish I knew him a bit earlier and got to play with him a bit earlier, just to see how genuine he is as a person, not too much as a player, but, like, he'll sit there and talk to your family for, I don't know, half an hour, like, each family, and it's always the last one, like, sort of in the sheds talking to everyone, and, you know, just how he treats people in general. You know, like, that's sort of what I took out of him. Obviously, he's sort of like being a front rower. You know, Jazza's who you look up to, you know.
He's the benchmark guy.
He literally is. To do it for so long, for how long is he's done it for now, and, you know, seeing all the milestones that he's sort of achieving now is just, like, it's pretty inspirational, honestly. And obviously being a bit older and seeing how he goes about his work still is, yeah, like I said, it's really inspiring.
Yeah, and we were inspired as fans because we didn't realise how religious he was when he tried to baptise you with that holy water. So that was cool. I thought, wow. You know?
Yeah.
He's a man of the cloth.
Yeah. I remember everyone, like, sort of messaging me, like, oh, he just sprayed water in your face. But at the time, I honestly didn't even know he sprayed water at me and threw a bottle or whatever. It was just, yeah, we both all just seen red and, yeah, just that was it. But
I think as rugby league fans, everyone just loves not only the banter but the battle, but also the respect. Yeah, you could see there was respect. And, you know, respectfully saying to you could see it's the young bull, if we can say that, and the old bull. And it's so nice to see because it's like – and then you're coming here. So, you know, as fans, it's really nice to hear you have that great connection, and we can see that on the field in the few games you played.
Just on the relationship between you and Jared, obviously leaving the club at the end of the year, but – what's he been able to share with you? What information or what skill set has he been able to share in the short time that you've been together?
Yeah, honestly, it's like I feel like I've been with him, like, for so many years, really? Just in the short time that I've been here. But I think he sort of just has that, like, aura about him that you sort of just don't want to let him down, and, you know, his impact on the group. That's sort of just what I sort of want to take out of, like, what he has. You know, when he's around, you can really feel his presence. And like I touched on before, just how genuine he is as a person. When you see his genuineness and stuff like that, it really makes you want to play for him and, you know, not let him down. So
It's funny you say that, because as fans, we sense his presence on the field from up here in the grandstands. But as a player, we know that if he's injured or suspended or whatever it may be, it feels like that intensity level of the playing group drops. And we've asked Victor and we've asked players this over a number of years, but he brings something, like, we call him the spiritual leader, because he taps into something within the playing group that they go that extra mile, or that they'll do that 1%. It's fascinating as fans watching that. So to hear you say that he actually draws something out of you, it's a special, I don't know what it is.
There's an energy. And mate, Spencer, as fans, I think you carry that same energy. So it's exciting for us to know that he's moving on to the UK, which, you know, with the blessing of all the Roosters fans, he can do no more and drifting off. But then moving into that role as yourself and Lindsay and some of that leaders.
So I think that's a perfect segue, because I wrote a note here and you just actually mentioned it a couple of minutes ago, Spencer. White line fever. Now, you're a pretty placid bloke, you know, pretty quiet, shy, unassuming. But once you run onto that field, mate, my God, you come off the back fence. Where does that come from? Because, I mean, we'll talk about your Origin debut in a moment, but every time you get on that field, it's the leg drive, it's the collision, it's everything. You do everything at 110 miles an hour, and as fans, we love it.
And it's the cheeky smile, if you say, there you go. And there's more
if you want. And a bit of lip service too. Doesn't want to chat. Where does that come from, mate?
Yeah, honestly, I really don't know. As soon as I'm past that white line, it's just a sort of different person comes out. And like I said before, I just don't want to let anyone down. Obviously, playing that bench role, it inspires me seeing the boys go about their work in that first sort of 20, 25 minutes. And, you know, I have a pretty short stint when I come on. So I'm just like, you know, if they put in all that work, you know, I have no choice but to give it 100%. And yeah, I honestly don't know. And I have to go back to my parents. You know, just seeing like everything that they've done for me, obviously my partner as well, all the things that everyone's sacrificed for me to get where I am, there's no reason why I can't like just give it 100%. So
do,
I have
do
to.
Do you think about that in the dressing room? Do those thoughts come into your mind? Like when before you're running out, does that stuff actually enter your mind that there's people there that have sacrificed so much for you and you repay them by stepping over people and bashing them in it, you're like smashing them in defense, like
bashing them was incorrect.
But like I think it's fascinating just from a fan's point of view that's this kind of stuff that you think about what's going through Spencer Lenu's mind just before he runs out.
Yeah, obviously the result, obviously, like a lot of processes to get to the result, but yeah, I have to say my family, bro. Like,
yeah, wow.
My family's everything. Like, I honestly wouldn't be here without them, and I always pray to my grandpa, like, rest in peace, he's up in heaven. But yeah, I always look up to him and just make sure he's looking over me, and I'm always saying like, I hope you're proud of me and stuff like that, and you know, crack one up there, you know, and just smile, you know, seeing your grandson playing on the big stage. And yeah, I have to say, like, my family's just the forefront of everything I do. And yeah, I just, every time I go out there, I just want to do my family proud. And that's
good
it.
On you, mate.
Yeah, Spencer, the prolific amount of island representation, you know, but Samoan, Tongan, you know, Cook Island is just huge in rugby league. Is that also something that drives you, like, such a proud Samoan heritage? And, you know, I suppose, you know, your generation's back in the family as well.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think that's one of my biggest goals in my NRL career now. Obviously, like, coming through the grades, everyone sort of just sees, you know, New Zealand as sort of the pinnacle or Australia. But, you know, sort of seeing, like, what Tonga did for their country and the movement that they sort of they had for their country and their people, seeing how proud, like, you know, every time they play, there's just a red sea. And you see that. And like, when I was watching as a fan, I was just like, that's so inspiring. You know, I was just like, you know what? Like, if I ever make it, like, that's what I want to do for my people. And, you know, obviously going back to that World Cup, first ever Samoan team to make it into the grand final. And sort of just to see the sort of movement that we had on, the impact that we had on Samoan people. You know, we had Samoan people in Hawaii, Samoan people in America, the UK, just seeing all that, like, you know, that was honestly like on par with like winning a grand final, just seeing how proud our people are, because it's such a small nation. So everyone sort of gets behind when success is there, and just to sort of put our small nation on the map was just it was such a big thing.
There's such an amazing connection with the Samoan boys, isn't there? They're just, you know, connected.
Yeah, for sure. I think just Polynesians in general, you know, you got the Tongan boys, you got the Cook Island boys, you got the Fijian boys, and just to see all those cultures sort of like, you know, on the pinnacle, on the biggest stage, you know, it's just inspiring for Polynesians in general. And, you know, anyone can just see the boys, you know, like Micah's, you got the, you know, you name all the Polynesian boys, just to see all them, all their people on the biggest stage is, I'm sure, it's really inspiring for all those young kids. And yeah.
Last week you run out for the Blues here in Sydney. Not the result we wanted, but talk us through the week. Talk about the build-up. We know the result, but how was it on debut? I think it's fair to say, we spoke about this prior to you coming here, from a debutante, the impact that you had on that game was unbelievable. But how was it for you?
It was so unreal. I still sort of like speechless about what sort of happened. Don't really believe it. I don't know, like maybe when I'm, you know, later in my career, I can sort of reflect upon it and, you know, be proud of it. But at the present moment, like, I don't know, it was obviously such an honor to, you know, put my family name on my back and, you know, represent them on the highest level. That was probably one of the most proudest moments, to see, you know, my family there, and how proud my mum and dad were. Like, my mum was crying after the game and stuff, and for her to like present my jersey, you know, I used to have those chats with my mum and my dad when we were younger. Like, you know, just imagine if, you know, this was, you know, if I was going to be on that, have that sky blue jersey on my back and have our last name there. And yeah, I think it was funny because someone asked me earlier, like, oh, that's, do you deserve to be there? And I was just sort of like, looked at him and I was like, you know, probably not, you know. And for me personally, like, obviously threw my name through the dirt a little bit early in the year. And, but like, I said to him, like, but my parents deserve it.
Yeah, right.
You know, my partner deserves to see, you know, their last name on the biggest stage. They deserve to see all their hard work and all their sacrifices. They deserve to see, you know, their last name on the biggest stage.
It's funny just listening to you there, because we interviewed Mitchell Pearce last week in the lead up to Origin, and he said the hardest thing about losing the game is you feel like you let your family down. You feel like you let the state down. You feel like you've let everyone down. He said it's one of the toughest beats is a state of Origin. And like Mitchell played against that era of Cronk and Thurston, and you know, he got pretty used to losing. But did you feel the bit like that too in the dressing room afterwards?
Yeah, for sure. I think the camp was such a good camp. We're up in the Blue Mountains and
close to home.
Yeah, close to home. But I was just like sort of, like, there's not much to do there, so it sort of forced relationships a bit more. Like, you had to really like chill with each other because there's nothing else to do. And I felt like the camp was just such a special camp. Just the bond that we had with each other, and you know, obviously the game was sort of not a reflection of how tight we were and you know how hard we worked on the day, because I feel like, you know, we put up a really good fight for 60 odd minutes, and I think the boys should, you know, be proud of it and obviously go back to the drawing board, but they should be really proud of how long we fought for and you know for the circumstances that we had and yeah.
And your own performance, mate. What did you think of how you played? I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't like talking about yourself, but I got a question here from Jackie Boy Gillard, who's a Rooster in the juniors, and he said to me, can you ask Spencer if he could rate his own performance? Because he's alumni, they're 21-year-age kids who play rugby league. So it's probably the best debut they've seen, and it inspires them. So that's a great thing for them. But what about you? You must be feeling proud of it.
Rate my performance. That's a bit, I don't know. I felt like it was all right. Like,
did you feel comfortable? Did you feel nervous? Did you?
Yeah, I was honestly so nervous just walking through the tunnel. Yeah. Like, it was such a long walk. I wasn't expecting it to be that long.
Yeah.
To be honest, like, it's just, I honestly don't know how to explain it. I was just walking through the tunnel. It was all dark and like loud, like sort of speakers.
And
like,
the Sandman's playing.
And then it goes through like a little fog, and then it just hits you in the face, like 80,000 people screaming at you. But in terms of my performance, I don't know, it was all right. I just, like, hopefully I get to get there again. But, like, now, like, my focus is, you know, Roosters and putting on a good performance for the brothers and getting a win. So
just last question on State of Origin. You played in three grand finals out there at Homebush in front of 80,000 people. Is the crowd different? Because, you know, it's a majority of Penrith supporters out there at those grand finals. Is the atmosphere different between State of Origin and a GF?
Yeah, it's actually funny that you said that, because I was talking to Boydo and he was telling me, oh, you're probably used to it and having the fans behind you. But, like, honestly, like, I reckon the last 3 years, like, everyone was sort of against us on the grand finals. I felt like it was like a 60-40 to the other team. And, it was so different. Having 80,000 people just cheering for you the whole game was just – yeah, it was honestly a dream come true. It was so thrilling. It just made you want to, like, go a bit harder. And yeah, I'd say it was a lot different, like, just having everyone, like, with you. So,
do you come off the field feeling different? Like, is the body a bit sore because of the intensity, or is it just like in an NRL game on steroids? Because it's the highest level of collision and, you know, conflict.
Yeah, I would say, obviously, the intensity was, you know, a lot higher than what it is in our old game, but in terms of physicality, I felt like it was pretty much on par. And obviously the loss was just, you know, you felt it a bit harder just because of the bond that you sort of had. We only had 8 days to sort of create a relationship with each other, and I felt like we did that. It was a special camp, and everyone brought into what Madge was trying to push and drive as a team. Obviously the result wasn't a reflection of how well connected we were, but
just one last little ditty for some of the fans. Ask, there's such an amazing celebration in the Islander, Samoan, you know, Tongan, Fijian community where you get that beautiful necklaces and celebrate. Can you just give the fans a little insight to what that is and what it means to you? Because it's a really nice thing to see, but some of the fans don't know what it means and how good it is for you.
Yeah, that's it. Sort of like a celebration of a high achievement. You know, people can get it like at graduations and sort of when you sort of accomplish something that you've been working really hard towards, you know, finishing high school, finishing primary school, all that type of stuff. The necklaces of chocolates and stuff. I got a fair few of them from my family. I was sort of hurting my neck. I think I got to go get some treatment from the physios. But I also gave those to the boys who debuted that game as well. And it's just a sort of a celebration of, you know, accomplishing something that you've worked really hard for.
And is it given by just anyone, parents, or is it given by someone in the community or is it just by fans, family, and
yeah, I think because Polynesians, we all sort of had that same sort of celebration type thing. And it's just from family. You know, my cousins would be doing up all night, just like wrapping all the chocolates and stuff together.
Which makes it mean so much, right? Because it's handmade by your family.
Yeah,
who you're playing for.
Exactly.
Yeah, what a beautiful finish.
To see them all there and then going up and saying like hello and, you know, them like rewarding me for, you know, putting our family up there. And it was honestly so special.
I reckon I'd be a bad Samoan.
I've been thinking. I mean, imagine
I'd be a great Samoan. But when it comes to the gift, it'd be one for me, one for Spencer.
It wouldn't last 5 minutes, the necklace. And it was caramel koalas, look out.
Oh, my God.
Now, Spencer, we have a very special segment and it's brought by the fans. It's called Set of Six. And this week it's Set of Six with Spenny. Are you ready?
Yep.
Righto, mate. We've covered this one, but what team did you grow up following?
Yeah, the Warriors.
It's a good one. What's your cheat meal?
Cheat meal? There's a lot, to be honest. There's a good store that the boys put me on here, Mary's.
Yeah, Mary's Burgers.
Good burger joint. Yeah, that I would say that's up there.
Spencer, how do you psych yourself up pre-game to run and crash into other front rowers?
Maybe watch Jared's highlights.
Is there a technique to running hard?
The technique to running hard. Honestly, what I think is just close my eyes and hope for the best. That's all I think.
And come off the back fence.
You're pretty good at the leg drive.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. All right, I guess.
Now, what's the best thing about being a Rooster?
What's the best thing about being a Rooster? Frick, there's so many things. I think just being a part of the community. I'm living up here now with my partner and embracing everyone and, you know, everyone embracing me I'd say just the community, yeah.
And this last one's a bit cheeky, mate, but they've seen the photo of you with the headgear yesterday. Please say the headgear is to annoy Critter.
Yeah, honestly, like, I think he's getting paid too, so I was like, if I chuck on the headgear, hopefully get a sponsorship or something like that, but nah, it was just all a bit of fun, you know, boosting morale in the group and, you know, I don't think anyone can see a front row run out there with a headgear, so I don't think I'd be running out there anytime soon with a headgear.
Now, Spencer, before we talk about Parramatta, it's worth noting, we just learnt this, that you've also got a fair few family connections to the Roosters now. You've got three cousins playing lower grades in NRLW. You just want to shine a light on that because we know the Va'a brothers.
Yeah.
You know, there's big raps on them, but you've also found out Tyra, the cousin, she's in the NRLW squad.
Yeah. I remember the first sort of, I think induction or something, like, I don't know what it was. It was just everyone sort of came together as a Roosters group and, you know, the NRLW there as well. And I remember my mum rang me and she's like, oh, you've got a cousin. Her name's Tyra. She wants to say hello, but she's too scared to come over. I'm like, oh, like, that's pretty cool. Like, seeing that we've got family, you know, in the NRLW now. And, you know, Tyra, like I said, that she's there now. And, you know, it's obviously really special. Being new to this club and, you know, to know that you've got family here is, you know, a bit comforting and, you know, obviously really special. And like you guys said before, the Va'a boys, De La Salle and Xavier, they've been ripping and tearing in pre-season. They're young boys, big boys, and, you know, they've got a massive future ahead of them. So I'm excited that I can be, you know, along their ride and their journey and try to help them as much as I can, you know, to try to reach their dreams. So
good on you.
Yeah, it's really cool. And just on NRLW, we're huge fans here on Roosters Radio. And as the season is about to start after Origin, we'll get the girls on. But how good is it? How good's the standard and how good is it to watch the girls play the way they play?
Yeah, it's obviously really special. You know, I've got little cousins that, you know, inspired by those girls and, you know, hopefully have a dream of, you know, representing their family in the NRLW. And, yeah, obviously to see the product and how it is now, it's Yeah, it's unreal, and I'm so stoked for those girls because they deserve it. They put their bodies on the line every single week like the boys do, and, you know, they deserve everything. So
yeah, it's not a truer word spoken. It's just progressed so much.
Yeah.
Now, Spencer, Saturday night out there at CommBank Stadium, we're taking on the Parramatta Eels. They went in a nail-biter on Monday to the Bulldogs. Short turnaround for the Eels. We've got them at a good time. What are you looking forward to about taking on the Eels this weekend, mate?
Yeah, honestly, I look forward to playing the Eels every single time. Obviously, coming from Penrith, that was our biggest rivalry, playing against Parramatta and the Battle of the West. And from young, you know, that was it, the Battle of the West. So when are we playing Parramatta? And obviously now I've got the opportunity to play against Parramatta, and you know, they obviously came off a loss, and you know, I know they'll be doing everything they can to rewrite their wrongs this Saturday night, and like I said, I'm just looking forward to playing, coming up against them again, and hopefully getting the win.
Well, I'm going to make a prediction here on Roosters Radio. I think this could be you, Spencer Lenu, anytime try scorer. I think you're finally going to score a try for the Roosters this weekend. You heard it here first. It's a Roosters Radio exclusive, Bush.
There's a lot of energy about this, Silky. I think the fans need to get behind this, and what you also need to know is, we do a uni bet, you know, we do a bet and it goes to charity. So, Spencer, we're all behind you to score your try, and that way it saves you at the end of the year doing that nude run that they're going to want you to do.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I was telling Kiri. Terrell's going for freaking four trials. Yeah. Like, you got to make up a play.
Help me out. Come on.
Mix it up, Luke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, doing all these quick playables for you, bro. Give me a try.
He's getting settled.
Well, mate, listen, on behalf of all the Roosters fans, firstly, it's great meeting you. Congratulations on your performance last week. Can't wait to watch you play this Saturday. And we look forward to having more chats into the future, mate. Welcome to the club, and onwards and upwards from here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks very much for spending time with Roosters on Roosters Radio.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, mate. Welcome back to Roosters Radio. And Bush, what a great interview. What a great young man Spencer Lenu is.
Silky, just super impressive. And I love that when you see someone, as I alluded to in the intro, on the field is just, you know, highly aggressive, highly effective, comes off the back fence. And then you get him off the field and say, hey, how's it going? And just so cool, calm, collected, and just, you know, concise.
And look, at its core, just a family man at heart, mate. Everything he does for his family. He acknowledges the sacrifices his parents have done. He's got a great family connection through his cousins, the Va'a brothers, and, of course, his other cousin, Tyra, which we didn't know about. And it sounds like he didn't know about it either. But, you know, it's great to have him at the club. You know, we haven't seen a lot of him yet, but we've got the back end of the season, and I think for Spencer, as I alluded to in the interview there, I think he'll get his first try for the Red, White and Bluesters, and I think it will be one of many that is scored there on Saturday night.
Silky, I can't wait. I think it's the uni bet of the round. And, mate, hasn't he just settled in as a Rooster? We did that comparison with JWH, their playing styles, and we talked about their connection. And he's got a nice energy, but he just seems to have just morphed into a Rooster in such a short space of time.
Well, Bush, give us a score prediction.
Mate, it's Roosters 32, Parramatta 12.
Okay, not bad, but I think there's more points in us. I think we really would have appreciated the week off. We were smarting after that loss to the Cowboys. The less said about that, the better. Short turnaround for the Eels. They got bashed up the other day there by the Bulldogs, and I think it's another big score by the Roosters. I'm going to say Roosters 44, Eels 8.
44-8, you heard
actually,
it.
Actually, 44-6. 44-6, no penalty goals. 44 points to 6. Spencer Lenu, try scorer, and I think you will see Dom Young get a double.
Wow. You've heard it here first. Well, all those fans of Unibet that like to get on with us and, of course, give that money away to charity, get on that one, and good luck for Spencer on the weekend.
Well, that's it for this episode of Roosters Radio. We want to thank our very special guest, the one and only Spencer Lenu. You've been listening to Roosters Radio.
East to win.
East know how to play the game. They play it hard and fair. East know how to win the game. They give more than their share.